This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Colin Audible here because the president just signed the executive order on tariffs, 25% for cars that were made outside of the U.S. But let me dip in here because he is doing Q&A, and I want to see if he's going to talk about the signal controversy, which was discussed in the briefing room quite a bit earlier today.
Okay, any other?
On the signal chat, Senator Roger Wicker.
Hold on 1 second.
Yes. Mr. President, reciprocal tariffs next week. Will those be immediately effective April 2nd on all countries, or will you focus on...
Well, someone tried to ask the question about signal. We'll see if they go back to it.
And we're going to make it very lenient. I think people are going to be very surprised. It'll be, in many cases, less than the tariff that they've been charging us for decades. So I think people are going to be very, very surprised.
Why is that?
I think they'll be pleasantly surprised. I don't know. I think we're trying to keep it somewhat conservative.
And on these auto tariffs, we saw obviously the NASDAQ 100 go down 2% at close, S&P 500 down 1%. What are you concerned
about
today? That market reaction?
Today?
Yes, sir.
I didn't say that. I want to see the jobs. I want to see that'll all take care of itself. That could take care of itself in 1 day, 2 days, or 1 week.
Are there any conditions under which you'd remove these auto tariffs, sir, or is this permanent for the rest of your term in office?
Oh, this is permanent, yeah, 100%, yeah.
Are you on the tariffs, sir? Did Elon Musk advise you at all on these auto tariffs?
No, because he may have a conflict, so we don't talk. I've never talked to him. Elon's amazing. He's never asked me for a favor in business whatsoever. I'm actually a little surprised by it. I might do it. I might not do it. I do what's right. And he'd want me to do what's right. No, he's a patriot. He has never, you know, these are big deals we're talking about. This is probably nothing like this. And I've never had Elon come and say, would you do me a favor with the mandate or the electric mandate or anything? He's never asked me for anything.
Sir, also, what's your response to Republican lawmakers who have said today that your administration should take more accountability and not downplay what's happened with signal that we've seen in these messages today?
Well, I don't know about downplaying. The press upplays it. I think it's all a witch hunt. That's all. I think it's a witch hunt. I wasn't involved with it. I wasn't there. But I can tell you the result is unbelievable because the Houthis are looking to do something. They want to know how do we stop? Can we have peace? The Houthis want peace because they're getting the hell knocked out of them. It's been very, very strong. The Houthis are dying for peace. They don't want this. And they're bad. Look, they were knocking ships out of the ocean. You know, we had in the Suez Canal, they only have about 20% of the ships going through. They have to go through a different way, which takes weeks of travel. And that really affects commerce. But the Houthis have been hit hard and they want to negotiate peace. But I don't think they're quite.
This is live in the Oval Office right now with President Trump taking questions.
Classified was shared.
Well, that's what I've heard. I don't know. I'm not sure. You have to ask the various people involved. I really don't know. I can only tell you this. You know, you don't want to talk about it. The Houthis have been horrible to the world, what they've done, killed a lot of people, and knocked down a lot of ships and planes and anything else. You know, it's not just the ships. And they have been hit. They have been hit harder than they've ever been hit. And they want us to stop so badly. And they've got to stop. They've got to say no mas. But I can only say that the attacks, it's attacks every day, every night. It's not just the one. You're talking about one. The attacks have been very successful, even beyond our wildest expectations. We've hit them very hard, very successfully. And we're going to do it for a long time. We're going to keep it going for a long time.
Senator Republican, Republicans have asked for, Senate Republicans have asked, said that they have formally asked the administration for an inspector general report on the signal issue. Will you agree to that?
It doesn't bother me. I don't know. You know, I want to find if there's any mistake or if a signal doesn't work. It could be the signal's not very good. You know, it's a company. Maybe
yeah, so he's not really getting too in the weeds here with the signal stuff. They're trying to ask some questions, but we'll circle back on that if it becomes an issue. He's signed the executive order on tariffs in the Oval Office, and then the reporters are asking some questions. But I'm gonna pull out of that right now because I got kinky stuff to do here on the show, and I have to share this with Alex and with Ethan. And Matthew's kind of joined in this afternoon because he's helping Ethan as Fred is gone. This is literally, guys, one of these stories that I cannot do with Sue here because I feel she sits right to my left, as you know, and if I do something that might be a little naughty or if I play a soundbite that's got some language, Sue does not want to hear that, and I get that and I appreciate that. Now, Fred's kind of the same way. Fred gets real nervous when I do things. A lot of times when I want to do something maybe that might be not approved, I don't tell Fred. I think that's the way. But so this is a story, though. This was in the LA Times, and it is kind of an interesting case outside of the kink. And they start the story this way. As Michael Dale lay with a plastic bag, saran wrap and duct tape sealed around his head, Michaela Reilersdam sat next to him with a vibrator and a cell phone, filming content for her OnlyFans page. You should see. So this is what's great. Even these guys, I have three men in the studio, and their jaws have dropped. You should see Ethan's face right now if you're watching the YouTube.
I'm just wondering where this is going, this is going.
Wait till you hear where it goes, because honestly, now you know why I couldn't do this with Sue.
This might have killed Sue.
Well, it might have killed this guy because it did, all right? Now, the adult entertainer and mother of three has been charged with murder because here's what happened. Dale, 56, he's the dude, Michael Dale, he paid Reilersdam, who's 29, Dale is 56 years old. This is in April, 2 years ago. Okay, this is in April 2023. She's paid more than $11,000 to come to his home in Escondido, California, and perform BDSM acts, according to the arrest warrant filled out by the Escondido Police Department. So when she arrives at 6 p.m., Dale is intoxicated, but she proceeds. She spends several hours engaging in fetish acts with him. I mean, he did pay her $11,000.
Hey.
If I'm going to pay someone $11,000, though, to wrap me in saran wrap, I'm going to maybe, you know, try to get my money's worth out of that and not die in the first 2 hours. But that's what the whole issue of this is. So he had very, we're just getting started here, guys, all right? I know all you sickos out there are still listening. You're not turning it off. Sue would turn it off, maybe a few have. There were some requests here that were very unique. He wanted her to wrap him up like a mummy in saran wrap. So she did. Huh. He wanted her to gorilla glue a pair of women's boots onto his feet. She obliged. But investigators say there was no evidence that he, quote, ever requested Reilersdam to place a bag over his head and secure it, because that's what killed him. He suffocated and he died. But this is actually a fascinating case outside of the kinky stuff, because she's arrested in February. She's pleaded not guilty. They've looked at this case for a couple of years. She's actually still in detention. She's being held without bail. They say that when police got there, they find him unconscious. She's performing CPR. She denies placing, or at the time, she denied placing anything over his head. And she tells police this was the first time she ever engaged in any fetish-type behavior. That's hard for me to believe, okay? So then they find videos on her cell phone of the dude struggling to breathe. And some of those were taken minutes before she dialed 911. He had duct tape over his mouth, a plastic bag over his head, more saran wrap around that, and then duct tape wrapped around his face and head, securing all the layers to his head. He also appeared to have had saran wrap wrapped around his neck tightly. So his head was sealed. This is such an amazing story, and I'm so glad I can get it in here this afternoon. His head was sealed in a plastic bag for 8 minutes, according to the affidavit. And the coroner's office says, look, the cause of death was asphyxia, and it was classified as homicide. So the question here is, there's a legal question here, because he didn't request, you know, that he should be killed, clearly. So they're saying that everything that he requested was fine. She complies with that, but he didn't request that his face and his head be sealed up. And that's kind of what happened here. So, according to the affidavit, they talk about her husband too, Brandon, who founded the company with her. They have three kids. The mission is to offer intoxicating entertainment with a professional flair.
Oh, my gosh.
And according to the affidavit, he was involved in the business ventures on OnlyFans. Her husband did, in fact, get at least $1,000 more from Dale while she was in Dale's home, and the husband encouraged her to continue getting more from Dale while engaging in fetish behavior. So I don't know if that means wow. he was paid $10,000, and then the husband said, okay, how about $1,000 more when we wrap you up with Saran Wrap? I would go for Reynolds Wrap personally myself, but that's just a little different kink, I think.
Here's my question. When they were doing CPR, did he still have the Saran Wrap like all around him?
Or well,
did
I think
they,
so,
like,
around his body, yes.
Open it?
I think they opened it around his face.
Then there's no way to save him. Like, there's no. No, he's gonna survive.
I feel like
that.
This girl watched way too much Dexter.
But it is an interesting, yeah, I know, right? But it is an interesting legal case because, again, you can kind of envision how this is gonna go before, you know, a jury if it gets to that point. A lot of times, what happens in cases like this is they'll say, "Look, you got whatever the case is, maybe a second degree murder." They'll say, "Look, if you plead guilty to manslaughter, we won't go through this." So I don't know what's gonna happen, but from a a pure. I don't exhibitionist entertainment point of view, this could be quite fascinating in the trial because she says, look, he asked, they probably have some proof of this. Maybe the videos show some of this too. He asked for all this to happen. Now, clearly he didn't ask to be killed, but you can see a jury saying, look, I mean, maybe it was an accidental death. Did she intend to harm him? That's what's going to be at play.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
You know, I was talking about this. What's that, Matthew?
I think you can argue she intended to harm him considering the layers of plastic.
Isn't that the purpose of that, though?
Isn't being told to not put a plastic bag over your head like the first thing you learn when you gain sentience and consciousness?
I think
they
print it on bags nowadays. Yeah. Don't put over your head.
But they were pushing the limits. Yeah. I'm telling you, so this is, that's an interesting case, but I've been talking about this the last couple of days. Alex, you watch a lot of the Netflix stuff. You haven't, this is on Max, I'm sorry. You haven't seen this Karen Reed thing, have you? About the Boston cop?
I have not.
Yeah, you mentioned that the other day.
This is a crazy story. It really is. And I remembered it after I started watching the documentary because I've talked about it. This is a very big case out in the suburb of Boston where this woman and she dated, Karen Reed's her name, she dated this cop, Michael O'Keefe. Everybody loved Michael O'Keefe. Mm-hmm. He's hanging out with all these other cops. They're out one night in January. I think it's the 28th of January a few years ago in 2022. They go to a bar. They go to another bar. Then they agree to go back to somebody's home, right? And then Karen Reed starts the whole story by saying, I get to the house. It doesn't look like much is going on. I tell Michael to go up to the door. He goes into the house, and he doesn't come out. And I'm sitting there for 10 minutes, and I'm pissed off, and then I go home, right? Well, then what happens is his body is found in the front of that house, frozen to death, hypothermia. What? He's got a bump on his head. He's got some scrapes on his arm. What happened? Did she hit him with the car? Was he murdered? Did something else happen? So the whole mystery of the documentary is what actually happened and what's the truth. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't really find out what the truth is. You can play a lot of guessing games, but it's a crazy case because there's a point where, and I'm hopefully not going to ruin this for anybody because I don't like to do spoilers, but there is a point where all of a sudden it takes a turn in another direction and you kind of think, oh yeah, this woman didn't do it. And then all of a sudden there's these text messages that occur between her and another dude that worked for the ATF and the FBI, and she's like totally flirting with him. And what happens in the procedures, and this was all on Court TV or one of those networks, all of this is public, and this cop in particular, the ATF guy, and there was a state trooper that had to do this too, they literally had to sit, look at their text messages that were very salacious. I mean, there was no Saran Wrap involved, but they were very salacious.
That was my question.
And they had to just, they just had to read them in front of the courtroom. It was humiliating for them. And I'm just going to tell you, just because this is going to be in the news, in the end, this if you're watching this right now and you don't want to know the end, turn it down for like 20 seconds. Okay, I'll give you a little time there.
Yeah, 20 seconds.
There was a mistrial. So there still has not been a resolution to this. And it's good TV. I will say that. I have some thoughts about it, and I'll relate them back to Making a Murderer. Did anyone see that?
No, yeah, it was great.
Okay.
I thought he didn't do it. I know you said were there in the time.
Dude,
and
it's not that I said. He did it. Okay? There is no doubt. There's no one that covered that trial.
But watching it, you don't think watching it not being involved
in it? That's my point here. So watching this documentary, it's different than being in that courtroom every day because you're going to think maybe she didn't do this. I happen to think that she did it. Now, whether she did it on purpose, I don't know. I still think there's reasonable doubt because there's a lot of weird things that happen. Like this cop, they're making calls at like 2-3 in the morning and they're telling the investigators, and they testified that they were butt dials. Like There are like 9 butt dials at 2 a.m. When does that happen?
Yeah, no, yeah,
and then the cop destroys his phone, too. He goes, yeah, I threw it out. They say you destroyed it. Well, no, I didn't destroy it. Yeah, you did. You threw it out. So this is a very fascinating case because there's so many different pieces of the puzzle, and it's relatable in a lot of different ways, and it's this small community. And Karen Reed has all these supporters every day at court that go out there, and you know, but she's a piece of work. First of all, she's crazy out of her mind. Now, is she guilty of murder? I don't know. That's the question. I don't know. Hang on. We're coming back with more.